TheYeshiva.net.
Purely in vain. This came the whole explanation that even Kalim of Atzilus, right? You remember the whole word of Kalim of Atzilus, that it's not considered Yeshmayan, it's considered Gilya Helim, meaning the finite structures that contain and define the infinite light are an expression of Hashem, but if they're finite, how can they be? And this Dalet Rebbe gave the whole mashal of the Kayach HaKsiva, where the finger channels that infinite capacity to write any letter, but it channels it in a single letter. When I'm looking at the letter, all I see is one finite letter. The truth is, what if I could see in that letter a manifestation of the full capacity to write any letter? But this is just one expression. So from the outside, when I look at the Kelim of Atzilus, in other words, the way it affects somebody outside of Atzilus, so to speak, is there's one letter. But from the perspective of Eirin Seif, it's just the expression of infinity, as explained at length. So he says, how does this apply in life? For this, we have to understand, it's knowing the difference. It's also a very famous maimer from the Baal HaTanya, from the Alter Rebbe of Tavkuf Samachay, 1904. We explained the whole chilek of Yosef and his brothers. At first glance, it looks like there was just they didn't get along. They loathed him, they were jealous of him, all of his dreams. But obviously, there was something much deeper. So this is a gewaldike maimer from the Alter Rebbe. It's a revolutionary point of view in the whole, in the entire story. And he explains as follows. Should be Yosef, ksiv by Yosef, it says, Vayovei habayis alasas malachta. By Yosef, the Torah describes in Parashas Vayeshev, he came home to do his work. And that's when Potiphar's wife pursued him and said, this is the day, be with me, and Yosef had to run away. So the Targum says on these words, Lemivdek bekisvei chushbone. What's malachta? It's a very interesting. Targum Unkelus usually translates the words, but here he says, Lemivdek bekisvei chushbone. Yosef had to deal with all the bookkeeping, all the accounts, all the math, or doing all the math, all the cheshbonos, all the calculations. He had to be baidik, check, examine, what we call, look, go through the books, to make all the cheshbonos, since he was running Potiphar's entire estate. And Potiphar was one of the wealthiest people in Egypt because he worked right under Paroi, who was the marshal, the keeper. Egypt was the superpower of the time. So Potiphar himself also made sure that he had challah for Shabbos, and he wasn't bereft of wealth. And Yosef ran everything. So not just his fields and his home, but all of his assets, all of his estate. So there were cheshbonos he had to make. V'achekach, if that wasn't enough, Nasa Mishnah L'Melech. He became the prime minister. He became the viceroy, the second in command. V'ad, it wasn't he was sitting in an office, you know, and running Egypt with a joystick. V'achah biladecha l'yadim mishas yadim v'sagalim b'chalitz mitzrayim. Pari told him, without you, nobody ought to lift an arm or a leg in the whole of Egypt. And as Rashi and the Mefarshim explain, it means anybody who wants to acquire a weapon, anybody who wants to train, anything significant going on in Egypt, anybody wants to lift an arm and a leg, it had to go through Yosef. Obviously, the whole economy he ran, but not just the whole economy, the whole country was under him. Like Pare said, the throne is beyond you. Raka kise egdal mimeka. What does that do to a person? Yeah. You can't be a viceroy of a country, a prime minister of a country, when you're running the entire country and you're not running it, you know, from a detached place. You're directly responsible. So you have to be involved. You have to be enmeshed. You have to be present. If I'm sitting in a forest and meditating, it's a beautiful thing, but you can't run a country that way. Va'afal pikein, the chiddush of Yosef was, despite this, amad al amdei ba'avodas Hashem, bedargas ha'avodas she'bo'elam atzilus. Yosef remained in his avodas Hashem, he remained connected in his service of Hashem, not just stam, but in the level of avodah of olam atzilus. Remember, olam atzilus is the first world. When we say it's the first world, it means it's the highest place of reality, which is completely divine. It's called Olam Ha'achdus. It's the entire world, reality, the way it's experienced in the oneness of Hashem. That's Atzilus. That's why it's not even called Bria. It's not yet called a creation. Atzilus doesn't mean a different world, a different planet. Yeah, I told you, you take a spaceship and you go You go 100 billion light years and you crash into Yetzirah. 200 billion light years, you'll crash into Bria, right? And 1 trillion light years, boom, you'll hear Natsilas. And by that point, the spaceship will disintegrate. Atsilas is here. Atsilas is, it's the glasses. Oh, actually, Atsilas is, there's no glasses. All the other worlds, there's already glasses. There's ways of looking at it because of Tzimtzum.
From our perspective, it has to be glasses because we look from the body point.
Right. No, I'm saying in all the other worlds, there's special glasses that allow us to perceive reality through different lenses. In Atsilas, all the lenses are pure. Yeah, our eye is a lens, and therefore it defines reality. So that all begins in lower worlds, which creates lower states of consciousness, in the word of Chassidus, through different tzimtzumim, that the lenses of those worlds can experience them. We have to understand also, I said this yesterday, but just important evidence, all the metaphors we talk about, for example, you want to communicate, so you have to put it into words, into letters, right? What you're communicating, the place you're communicating from, has much more than those letters. Can have all the letters in the world, but the communication happens through a letter. That letter, from the perspective of the reader, it's just one letter, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, or a few letters, DNA, a sequence even of a million letters. But from the perspective of the one communicating, that letter is a manifestation of the infinite capacity of the one who's transmitting it, right? And that's the Chiddush of Kalim. The Chiddush of Kalim is they're not infinite. They're not finite. They're infinite. But it's the power of infinity to be able to create a perception of finiteness outside in a different world. In the Mashal, it's always you exist and I want to communicate to you. In the Nimshal, the Kalim are the ones that create the identity of finiteness. They're not just communicating to finiteness. Because of Kalim, there is this concept of finiteness. So in the Darg of Avodah Vatzilus, this was Yosef. That's a paradox. How can both exist? Ve'ilu ha-shvatim, aleihem nemar ve'heim lo hikiru. On the shvatim it says, they did not recognize Yosef. Vayakir Yosef es'echa ve'heim lo hikiru. He recognized them, they didn't recognize him. So the literal interpretation is, because he was young, he was 17 when they sold him. Like Rashi brings from the Gemara, now he had a big beard. Remember, this is 2 decades later. So from 17, right? This is more than 2 decades later because Yosef was sold at 17. And then he stood by Pari when he was 30. So that's 13 years later. And then there was the 7 years of famine. So Yosef was 37. And now it was already the hunger. So Yosef was now 38, 39. So you're dealing with 20 years, 21 years, almost 22 years. So people change. That's the literal interpretation. But physically, he recognized them. They didn't recognize him because they were older already. So he saw their features didn't change that much. His features changed. The Alter Rebbe says a different, whole deeper word. Vayakir Yosef Es'echav, he had a hakara in their avodah. They didn't have a hakara in his avodah. They couldn't have a hakara. They didn't have the tools to recognize his madrega. Not that they didn't want to. They weren't makir. They didn't recognize that there's such an approach. You know, sometimes people, not to compare, this is on a much higher level, but on a lower level, sometimes people, they grow up a certain way. They can't even have a hakara in something. Some of you understand this very well. That's outside of their orbit, right? Like sometimes you trained a certain way. If this is what somebody looks like, right? He's obviously an apikaitis, a kaifir, a shaita, whatever it is. A goy gomor, a shegetz. A regular goy is a goy, but he's a goy gomor. So it's a different level. It's not because I know. It's because this is how I protected myself. I don't even have a hakare. I don't even begin to understand the soul of the other person. It takes maturity and open and humility, I should say, humility to be able to say, you know, maybe there's something I don't know. Rather than put everyone into my box. On a much deeper level, the Heim Lo, they didn't have such a hakara. Why not? Look at their entire life, he says. Shemitzad ma'amadim shel hashvatim b'avayda sabayri b'ayfen sheiroi yitzoyin hayu avadecha shahayu b'izbaydidus michutz le'ir. Kedeshin yana yer lo yival bolo yisum la avaydas abayri lo yhoysele makare baifan avaydasu shal Yosef. She bi Yosef b'mayim adamatsum shal yodin nasim kol prote in yonim deretz mitzrayim ervis haaretz hoysa avaydasu kaifan avaydabayla matzulas. When they came to Mitzrayim, yeah, Pari asked them, Yosef said, Pari is going to ask you what your vocation is. What do your job be? Well, he'll hire them. They're good, capable guys. You know, Jews know how to do some stuff. So Yosef said, tell him that you were always shepherds. And when they came to Pari, he asked them, Mama, Sechem, what do you do? He said, we were shepherds from our youth. We never did anything else but shepherding flock. Now, this wasn't a lie. This was true. Already at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, you see, right? They were all shepherds. Yaakov Avinu was extremely affluent. He had tremendous amount of flock, and they were responsible. That's why he sent Yosef to Shechem to go look at this brother, how his brothers are doing, how the flock are doing. So they said, this was our avoyde always. What was the reason for this? So the Alter Rebbe explains, because a royet sign, a shepherd, is the most conducive form of work that allows you to remain disengaged from the grind of a physical world, which by definition creates tremendous pressure to pull people in and lure them into all types of thoughts and emotions that are connected to the very physical and pressuresome and materialistic and never mind promiscuous and immoral world. Shepherds. Why? First of all, you're in places of nature. You're not in, you know, urban cities, even though then there were no trucks and cars, but the concept existed also in Mitzrayim. You're in communion with nature. Sheep, goats, you're dealing with natural animals, domesticated animals, right? So there's a certain serenity, there's a certain tranquility. If you ever hang out a few days, yeah, you see right away, it's a different rhythm. You know, you wake up with the sun, you go to sleep with the sun. The whole reality, the environment is, you have to be with greenery, you have to be, they have to pasture, and they have to be near water. And what do you have to do? You just have to be there and take care of them and guard them. So the Shvatim really, 24/7, they can remain in a space of transcendence. To remain in a space, like we spoke yesterday, of meditation. Huh? Real is baidedus, real is baidinus. And this is not a small thing. This is not a small thing. This is a hard avoda. Real meditation, real spirituality is not a responsibility. It's in many ways much more responsible than anything else. It's a choice that I want to live in a space of love, of light, of infinity, of truth. And it's not easy. We know today to get somebody to meditate for more than 60 seconds is an avoda kasha. Your thoughts go everywhere and there's a phone and responsibilities and in the middle there's 100 texts. It's not even like, most people don't even know what you're talking about. But the truth is, yeah, in Tanakh we see that there were thousands and thousands of Jewish prophets. There were schools of prophecy. What did those Bate Midrash look like? They weren't serving Chalant over there. The Bate Midrash of Nevi'im was schools of prophecy. It was schools where you needed to train your antennas to experience spiritual energy. It's a whole different lifestyle. It's a whole different space. Those who are involved with these things even today through various means, no, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of living in a space which is extremely, extremely safe, extremely secluded from any enmeshment and involvement with things that can bring you down, especially corruption. But even that corruption, even just politics with not, I don't know if maybe the two are synonymous, but even if it's not corruption, it's just the pressures of life. So Rayat Sain, they were shepherds because they wanted to be his Baidus. Why? All for Avaidus Hashem. Yeah, the Jews in the desert also had that. What they do all day? It's not just an intellectual change, it's a spiritual change. It's being in an emotional space of love of God. It's celebrating the spirituality, the relationship with Hashem. It's moments of daily gratitude, 24/7. You're a conduit for the energy of God coming through you, and you're living it, you're feeling it, you're experiencing it. It's an entire different modality. And for them, this was essentially what Judaism is. That's what it is. What else is there? That's it. And the truth is, you know, we look at, what do you waste your time all day? It's not everything else. Go get a job, right? Go make some money, yeah? But the truth is, we run other places, yeah, very often, Like Reb Hillel Parish was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek. He once, the Altin of Mitzvah Tzemach Tzedek, he once said, if the Balei Taivis in the world would know the Geshmak of Elikus, they would abandon all their Taivis and they would be involved in Elikus all day. If they would know the Geshmak of godliness, they would relinquish all their other addictions and they would go. So I once said this over to somebody. He was a big Bal Taiva, let's put it that way. He says, obviously the Hillel didn't know about Taivis Elam Haza. He says, it was easy. Aravin Babroisky was a gone oil. Obviously. So I told him, obviously, you don't know anything about what it means to have a geshmak in Elikus. And maybe both are right. Maybe both are right. It's a big avoider because it's letting go of the getting pulled into distractions, and it's achieving real bliss, not distractions, bliss. Bliss can only come from the soul. Bliss can come from my phone, from good food. It's all nice, but that's not bliss. Those are distractions. It's only when the body becomes a channel for the soul, for the animal soul, and the animal soul becomes a channel for the divine soul. Only when you respect that hierarchy. The hierarchy in Tanya. Nefesh HaLekis, Nefesh HaBahamas, Guf. And they work together. If the guf becomes a substitute for the nefesh alakiz, the nefesh abamas becomes a substitute for nefesh alakiz, it's like allowing the puppy in the house to take over the house. It's a disaster for everybody. The puppy is also not happy. A good puppy likes when there's a good tati and a good mommy that say, you're the puppy, come here, here's breakfast. The nefesh abamas likes, it's a puppy, it's trying to survive. It's a cute puppy, sometimes it's a German shepherd, depends what type of animal soul you have. But when it's in that hierarchy, it could be very content. Anything else, if I think I'm going to pursue the animal soul's gluttony at this moment, that's going to make me happy. You all know it's exactly like addiction. It makes people miserable because I'm completely disrupting the hierarchy. The system doesn't work. The nefesh alekis is what it is. It needs dveikus. It needs truth. It needs authenticity. So when the body and the animal soul are trained to work completely in synchronization with the divine soul, there's a sense of bliss that comes internally. And that can be maintained 24/7. When I am in the proper mode. And there's no bliss as big as that. There's no bliss in the world is deeper than that. All other bliss is a form of distraction. What's next? What's next? What now? Okay, now we're going out. What's next? We're going on vacation. What's after vacation? We got another vacation. What happens then? You're depressed. You go to therapy. I'm being a little humorous here, but you understand the point. Nefesh HaLekis, it's not looking what's next. There's no what's next. This is it. But it's very hard to live that way. So they said, yeah, you have to train. You have to be in that school. You have to be in that environment. Let's disengage. And throughout the generations, this was a real model of Avodas Hashem. Each person on different levels, right? But real tzaddikim that live somewhere in an island. Real tzaddikim, I mean people who get it. That's what I mean by tzaddikim. V'amir kulam tzaddikim. People who get it know how real this is. It's in this space of sacredness, you are constantly experiencing as much as you can the rhythm and the miracle of creation, and you realize I'm just a conduit. It's the ultimate bittul, it's the ultimate humility, and that's why they didn't want to engage in anything else. Yeah, similar to the Meraglim, they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Not only that, Alter Rebbe says of art, it says in Parshas Mikates Vayigash that Toyavas Mitzrayim Kol Roye Tzoyin. By Egypt, all shepherds was an abomination. So the little interpretation is because they worshipped sheep. Sheep was their god. You know, like the Hindus have the holy cow. So they had the holy sheep. That's why slaughtering the Korban Pesach as a sheep, the Ibn Ezra explains it was a big thing because for them, sheep were holy. You didn't slaughter a sheep, certainly didn't eat lamb chops. And the whole Korban Pesach was dafka lamb chops. The Alter Rebbe says a deeper word. Te'avas Mitzrayim kol rei yitzayin. The whole shit of Mitzrayim was that they abhorred this concept of being in seclusion with the divine. That's not a way to live. Te'ava, it was an abomination. It was ridiculous. The rei yitzayin is not just the shepherds. It's the whole concept of what the rei yitzayin represents. That's what the Shvatim said. This is what we did all our life. I'm bringing it out because people don't understand. They think his baidadus just means you can't be successful, so you run away to a corner because you don't want to deal with pressure. No, you don't want to deal with pressure because you want to live. You don't want to be dying. Either you're busy living or you're busy dying. You don't want to be busy dying. You want to be busy living. So they felt, this is the Roi Yitzchak. Suddenly they have a brother. And like a baby brother. The baby brother, right? And suddenly, he has a whole different life. A whole different life. Already as a kid, he's dreaming everyone. Remember then, farming, right? Fields, that was real estate. You had a lot of fields. That was like having buildings on Fifth Avenue. And Yosef HaTzadik is dreaming about agriculture. And all the sheaves are bowing down to his. The whole language already was foreign to them. And then the sun and the moon and the stars are bowing down to him. The whole language, this was something, this is not Judaism. Maybe it's the closest thing to Judaism, but it's not Judaism. Something was off here. And indeed, his entire life plays out a completely different trajectory. So the Alter Rebbe says, "Vehei kiruhu." They didn't have the tools to have a hakara, a recognition. What type of life is this? Who made this? Obviously, you want to destroy Judaism from within. That's Yosef. You're coming in and you're going to contaminate us with all these foreign ideas. That's a very dangerous thing. Esav separated from Yitzchak. Yishmael separated from Avram, so they didn't contaminate. But Yosef is the enemy from within. Very subtle enemy. Very edel of art. So it wasn't the Shvatim's lowliness, it was their loftiness, their sublimity. That's what he says. Yosef lived in Mitzrayim and Ervas Haaretz. Mitzrayim was a promiscuous place. You see, his own master's wife was trying to do something not nice with him. And he was thrown in prison. Why? Because he was innocent. So you understand what type of place he was dealing with. Ervas Haaretz. And yet, his avodah was ba'olam atzilus. So the question is, why couldn't the Shvatim understand it? So the Alter Rebbe says, "V'tam adav v'elufi shadargas ha'shvatim hi ba'olam abriya, v'ilu dargas yishlo Yosef hi ba'olam atzilus." Their neshamas come from Briya. His neshama came from atzilus. You hear the word? They came from a lower space. So for them, they had to run away from the finite world in order to touch Ein Sof. He came from Atzilus. What's the Chiddush of Atzilus? What did we learn before? That the Kelim of Atzilus are not finite. There's no finiteness in Elikus. The Kelim of Atzilus is the way infinity expresses itself through finiteness. But that's in Atzilus. In Bri Yitzir Asiyah, how does Bri Yitzir type up Kelim? Limits, definitions. You remember the whole word of the Alter Rebbe, what's Kelim of Atzilus, right? The Machloek is what Kelim of Atzilus is, the Rikanti and the Mareches, the two opinions. So this is the hemshach. This is the execution and reality of that whole idea in Kabbalah. It's one of the big chidushim. Usually, you learn about kelim of atzilus, machlokes of Kabbalah. It's all abstract stuff. Yes, man. Here he's showing this is where it translates. It's not a bizarre haskaladic philosophical debate. This is where it translates. Yosef could not get more finite, more limited, more restricted in terms of spiritual consciousness than his life. It's not just he lived in Mitzrayim as a bookkeeper. That's also pressure, at least 9 to 5. But 5 o'clock, you go home and you meditate. You know, you have a job, you're in your office, you show up. 5 o'clock, you're a free man. That's not Yosef. First, he's a slave by Potiphar. Then he's a prisoner for 12 years. And they think, okay, now he goes on vacation, right? No, now he's the Mishnah Lamelech and Pari says, "You're in charge. I'm not in, you're in charge." And the, as the Pasuk says, "V'yosef hu amashbir bar," anyone, he fed everybody. And they came from the whole world. They came from the whole region to eat. And it was all him. "V'yosef hu ashalit hu amashbir bar." Such a person is in the gvul shebigvul shebigvul, completely entangled and enmeshed and consumed. If you're a neshama from Bria, you look at it and you say, "Oh my God. It must be that our brother is the black sheep in the family," pun intended. Actually, if he would be sheep, Nishkeferlich, he's the black goat in the family. Esav is called a goat, Yaakov is called a sheep. Yosef is the black sheep in the family, the black goat in the family. He doesn't belong in this family. But why? Because mitzad oilam abriya, they're right. They're not wrong, they're right. Mitzad Bria, there's a separation. Either the bestan eilich chsidish pnimi is the kiyid, yeah, or bestan chitzoni is dike veltisha. I don't know. I could use different words, but we'll stay away from them. But the bottom line is, you're somewhat compromised. You're contaminated. You're not the real thing. And they looked at it and they're like, Nebuch. You need to be a tycoon in real estate because you're not friendly with your soul. If you can only become friends with your soul, you don't need to be a tycoon. Who needs it? What do you need it for? So you're going to have a page on Wikipedia? You'll be, they used to have who's who. So you'll be in the book of who's who? Huh? The first oligarch, Shekoyach. So you'll become a celebrity, so you're going to have on Facebook 200 million followers together with Instagram. So what's going to happen? So if somebody sees you, they need to take a selfie with you, and you'll be able to have an estate in Florida that costs $21 million, and in southern France for another $30 million. Okay. And your children won't talk to you. And you'll be on your sixth marriage and in court. It's fine, you want that, Gesundheit. So Feldman ist deus. I don't need anybody to see me, I don't need anybody to know me. I just need to be with God. It's a much more real life, much more peaceful, much more normal. I know I'm speaking heresy in America 2024, but it's true. Anybody who knows about these things knows it's true. Vaharaya, this tycoon, right? He says, he looks at this simple, you know, guy who has nothing, but he's peaceful and he's jealous. Why is he jealous? And this is in a very simple way, but it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. The whole relationship with this, what, this is, you don't need it, you don't want it, this, you don't, just don't know yourself. Mitzad Olam HaBriya, and remember, Olam HaBriya is a very, very heavy, very deep world. It's Olam HaSi, Olam HaTzi. Olam HaBriya is not, Olam HaBriya is very, very godly world, but it's not Atzilus. So over there, it's the way Kalim, it's back to our Mashal. It's when I'm looking at the letter, when I'm looking at the DNA letters, I see finite, defined letters. I look at the world, I see a defined world. Divinity is not defined. In Atzilus, Kalim, also defined, but it's not defined. It's the way infinity is expressed through the letter. So you look at a letter and you see the Ein Sof, Ein Sof. But what's the chiddush of Kalim? That in another world, meaning from the prism of infiniteness, it looks like everything is finite. And as we said, that's the beginning of all darkness and even evil. Evil doesn't begin with evil. It begins with defining light as light. Once you define light as light, now there's something called darkness. Once the infinity is concealed, now, once I'm detached from infinity, now there's already so many different definitions of life, all the way down to toxicity and disassociation and fragmentation. But it begins where? It begins with Gvul. Where does Gvul begin? Outside of Atzilus. It's all Kalim of Atzilus, but the way Atzilus experiences Kalim is just Koyach HaGvul of Ein Sof. It's the final expression of Ein Sof. You with me? So what's the accomplishment of Kalim? That outside of Atzilus, it can be interpreted as Gvul, and that's what that begins in Briya, Kalim de Biyah. So Mitzad Olam HaBriya, you have to choose which world you're going to live in. So Heim Lo Yikiru, they couldn't have a Hakara in this. For them, again, I'm going to use a very crass mushel. For them, an Erlich Yid, yeah, has to look like them. When you look at Yosef, it's not the real thing. And therefore, he's more dangerous than other people. He's more dangerous because he can infiltrate. Mele, if he was a real Goy Gamor, fine. I'm sorry, if he was a Goy, fine. But this guy is much worse than everybody. Now you have to understand the vort here. The vort is that from the perspective of Briya, they're actually right. In other words, you can't fake Yosef. If Yosef is not the real thing, they're taka right. In the space of Briya, yeah. Or let's put it differently. If Yosef wouldn't have what his brothers had, he can't be Yosef. If I jump into Yosef without connecting to my soul, I can't be Yosef. It's a fake version, it's fake news. And then it's taka dangerous. If a person says, Dira b'tachtoinim, I need to daven, I need to learn, I need to connect to transcendence. No! The kavana is gvul. That's not Yosef. That's fake news. It's a forgery of Yosef. It's using Yosef against Yosef. The reason Yosef could be Yosef is because he was from Atzilus. Because he was more divine than everybody, not less divine. You can only be Yosef when you're so anchored in Ein Sof that you see the Ein Sof even in your books, your bookkeeping books in Egypt. You're dealing with the economy of Mitzrayim. You could see the Ein Sof there also. That's the only way you could be Yosef. If not, the brothers attack right. This is the sensitivity here. It's not... Yosef is not more modern than his brothers. If you want to put it differently, Yosef is much, much more... I'm using the word, I don't mean it literally. He's much more frum than his brothers. He has much more Yerushamayim. He's much... The word is not so frum. He's more anchored than Ein Sof. He's from Atzilus. What did the brothers do with Lamatad and Tachlis? Sof kol sof. Yeah, mitzad oylam habriyah. You need precious. You need to disengage. We can all relate to this. When a person is involved in this type of spiritual work, right, you need to go into a different space, physically and emotionally. I can't sit at my desk with my computer, with my phone. It's just not going to happen. You know that. So people live fragmented lives. You know, maybe even if you're into this, you know, 10 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, you'll take 2 days, 3 days, a week, call it a retreat, whatever you want, right? But then, you know, reality is calling you. The Shvatim said, reality is not calling me. This is reality. I'm not taking a week retreat. I'm taking 90 years retreat. I don't need a retreat. Everything else is a joke. Retreat, that's a reality. Everything else is a joke. Well, I have to live there. I don't want to live there. I don't have to live there. Avram was a shepherd. Yitzchak was a shepherd. Yaakov was a shepherd. The Shvatim were shepherds. In order to appreciate Yosef, in other words, you first have to understand his brothers. If not, you don't appreciate Yosef. Yosef was a worldly guy, you know. He was a macher. He was a chevraman. When he was a kid, he was already running Hatzalah and Shoimrim and Misaskim and Mizamrim and Mishayrim, and you know, he ran the place. To appreciate Yosef, you have to first appreciate his brothers.
If you appreciate Yosef, your neshama probably comes
with. Or the other way. And here the Alter Rebbe says of art, it's like, it says, Mamish Gilia Lukus. He says, "Vayte v'zeh shomer lo Yosef lo echov hatachas elikim oni." When Yaakov Avinu passed away, so the Shvatim, the brothers, were afraid that Yosef is going to take revenge. As long as Yaakov was alive, he was respectful of his father and he contained himself. But now Yaakov passed away, so now it's time for business. You know, it's time to right. It's time to pay back your debts. You tortured me. Let me teach you about life. So they came and they cried to him and they cried to him and they said, we're going to be your slaves. So Yosef started to cry and Yosef told him three words. Hatachas alekim ani. You think I'm Hashem? You think I'm a substitute for Hashem? So the Mefarshim say, what was he saying? So Rashi says, basically, you think I'm God. Let's say I want to hurt you. You think I could hurt you? Look at you. You tried to hurt me, you couldn't hurt me. So you think I'll be able to hurt you? That's what, Asachas alakimani. Am I Hashem? What are you, don't worry. Like, I don't run this world. This was Yosef's response. Other people have different, other Mefarshim say different things. The Alter Rebbe says the words, Hatachas alakimani is a whole different word. Hatachas alakimani, you think I'm under alakim. Tachas means under. Tachas, tachtan. You think I'm under alakim. That's the whole issue. The whole issue is, you think I'm under alakim. I'm higher than Shem Elikim. I'm not under Shem Elikim. Malchus Datsilis Hamakir the Olam is Bri Yitzir Asiya. Shem Elikim represents Malchus of Atsilis, which is the source of Bri Yitzir Asiya. V'loy Tachas Shem Elikim K'moy Ata. The difference is you're under Shem Elikim. Your consciousness is post Shem Elokim. My consciousness comes from Atzilus. It's beyond Shem Elokim. Elokim is the gematria of Hateva. Hate, the nature is Elokim. Aleph, Lamed, He, Yud, Mem. There's Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, Hoya, Hoi, Viviyeh. Elokim is begematria Hateva. Elokim is Midas HaTzimtzum. Midas HaDin. Elokim is the restriction into Teva. Teva is from the word Tubu, drowning. In other words, you don't see the Kayach Elokim in the world. So the world looks finite. Your neshamas come from Olam Abriyah. Olam Abriyah is a product of Shem Elokim, which is Malchus of Atzilus, which condenses itself into Briyah Yetzir Asiyah. So by you, there's friction. By you, there's a division. By you, there's polarity. By you, it's either this or this. The Yosef here is summarizing the whole Machloikas in three words. You don't understand who I am. When you're in Atzilus, it's the most modest thing to say. We say, oh, me. In Atzilus, the whole I is Ein Sof. When we got Takas Elokim money, you're thinking, you have to look at from the lenses of Yosef. It's the most modest thing to say. Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'nachnu ma, what am I? Well, I'm a Motzius, I'm Bittel. Moshe wrote, "Va'ish Moshe on of Ma'ed Mekal Adam Moshe Nabdama." Moshe Rabbeinu runs into the Zayis Abracha Shabeirich Moshe Ish Elokim. He calls himself Ish Elokim. Okay, he's really taking dictation, but he's writing these words. In Zayir it says, Rashbi said, "I'm not Simon Abalma. I'm just a simon. I'm just a sign for Hashem." So Yosef is explaining to the brothers the whole inyan. V'kivin she Yosef hayim mebchinas haatzilus lachen lohaisa machshava medivrei olam mevalbelus esh klal kamishim avayin adam marash. So Maimon from the Rebbe Marash, Roni V'Simchi, Tofresh Chav Zayin, based on the Alter Rebbe's Maimon, he says that's why the thoughts of the world couldn't be mevalbel him. Why couldn't they be mevalbel him? Either thoughts are very finite. The answer is, because in Olam Atzilus, the Kalim are not Gvul. The Kalim are Bli Gvul. Either Kalim, they're Kalim in the sense that the way they're perceived by that which is outside of Atzilus, it can affect that outside of the Gili of Atzilus, you experience Gvul, and that's how Takabri and Tzirasi are created through Shem Elokim. But in the world of Atzilus, Kalim are not Gvul. It's just the Koyach to create Gvul in a different world. Because Hashem has the Koyach of Gvul and Bli Gvul, and that's what Kalim are. Kalim are just an expression of his Ein Sof. Since Yosef is from that space, it's not Asachas Elokim money. It's beyond Shem Elokim. Beyond Shem Elokim, then you would understand your brother. So it's not a stira. He's a Mishnah Lamelech. He's in Egypt. The ultimate finiteness. And at that moment, he's completely Dovuk in Hashem.
Moshe was also
in Moshe also. But by Moshe, you don't see that engagement with the physical world. Yosef was dressed as an Egyptian. He spoke as an Egyptian. Yosef wasn't an official Jew. Huh? He was an, so to speak, an Egyptian, right? He changed his name to the parakol Sofnas Paneach, gave him an Egyptian name. That's the Chiddush of Yosef. In other words, when you looked at Yosef from the outside, it's like, so to speak, Bia looking at Kalim. What do you see? You see one letter. You see Gvul. When you saw Yosef on the inside, you saw that there was no finiteness, but everything was Ein Sof. So if everything was an Ein Sof, he can go to places that nobody else can go. If his brothers would go there, they would take a fall. They had to stay away. But Yosef could be fully present there. Why? Because he was completely rooted and anchored in the truth of Ein Sof. And Ein Sof is Lamata Adin Tachlis. Only because it's Ein Sof, it can go Lamata Adin Tachlis. If it's not Ein Sof, it can't go Lamata Adin Tachlis. Unless it's transformed. Unless Taka becomes that. So there's really three levels. There's the Avos, there's the Shvatim, and then there's Yosef. The Avos were, let's call it this way, the Avos were like the Otis of Atzilus. The Shvatim were the Kalim of Briya. And Yosef was the Kalim of Atzilus. In other words, the Avos, they were shepherds, not because they had to disengage from the world, but because there was no world over there. It's like, Lechatchila Ein Sof. There's no world. That's why they were shepherds. They were not escaping it. They lived in a place where there was lechatchila no world. The Shvatim lived already in a place where there's friction. So they had to disengage. And Yosef had the Maila of Atzilus, but the way it was Atzilus was present Lamata Adin Tachlis, so he can come in to those places. So he really brought out the truth of the Avos within the physical world. By the Avos, they were shepherds, not because they were running away. It's like, so to speak, Eidus of Atzilus. It's not running away from the world. It's Lechatchila in the world of Ein Sof. It's like the Neshama before comes down into this world. It's not running away. It's Lechatchila in a world where there's nothing else outside of Elikus. It's above. They were above it. It's like they weren't exposed to it in the sense that it didn't exist. The whole challenge didn't exist. It's like Eid. Yilchatchila live in a world of Ein Sof, but Yosef HaTzadik, the Chiddush was that he came into the Levushim of Mitzrayim. He'll explain now more. With this, the Rebbe Marash explains also that expression in Chazal, it's known, it's revealed and known before he who created the world. The expression is Yadua, Goli V'Yadua. It's known. It's a very famous Goli V'Yadua. It's known. She Yadua Lefon of Memele Ve'enu Ebchinas Islapshus Ebchinas Hamachshava. There's two forms of knowledge. There's Yodeya and there's Yadua. Yadua means it's like known Memele. You're not enmeshed in the thought. When I want to know something, I have to think about it in order to know it, to acquire it. So by definition, I go into the thought, and the thought hijacks me. That's Yodeya. Yodua is, it's known. It's known. The Rambam has the expression, Hashem is the knower, and Hashem is that which is known. So he says, this expression has in it two elements. That's Yadua. In other words, there's what's called Das Tacht and Das Elyon. A lower level of knowledge and a higher level of knowledge. A lower level of knowledge is called Yodeya. A higher level is called Yadua. What's the difference? Yodeya is Behislapshus. I become involved in the knowledge. And that's the whole idea of how thoughts work. We spoke about the concept of meditation, of disengagement. What is the hardest part? Not to follow your thoughts. In the world of meditation, everybody knows the basics of it is, yeah, close your eyes, breathe, relax, right? And start, what? So you start thinking, I have time. Okay, so watch your thoughts and don't go there. Really? What am I going to do now? You understand? And the thoughts don't stop. Somebody's probably texting me. 1 second, I forgot to call him back. Oh my God, I have to pay. Oh, in the car, there's an appointment. You're done. After 2 minutes, you're like, you know what, this is not for me. So what they'll tell you is, it's fine. Don't get upset. Just watch your thoughts. Don't get angry. Don't say, I'm now going to free myself up, because the thought that I'm now going to free myself up is the hardest thing. It will not allow you to free yourself. But it's really just watching the eye, observing the thoughts. And the fact that you can watch yourself, you can watch those thoughts, means that the eye is not the thought. The eye is not the thought. And with real, real practice, and with real, real skill, and with real discipline, and presence of mind, this could bring a person to a very, very deep place. There's also other methods that are well known and not so well known. I'm just giving one example. But all of these methods have a common denominator, and that is you must disengage the eye from machshava. Because thoughts don't stop. Every moment you're thinking about something. What happens? What happens is, when a person can really do that, the eye somehow could start experiencing the consciousness of the world, the consciousness of existence, that's not being pulled down in a particular thought. So when I want to know something, by definition, I need to know it. So I have to tune into this information and listen to it and think about it. That's called Yoideya. And that's called Hislapshus. And there's a change before I knew it, while I knew it, and after I knew it. Before I knew it, I was in this place. After I know it, I'm in this place. And in the middle of knowing it, I'm in this place. And we can all see that when thoughts are happening, most thoughts take the people with them. I am what I think. So the thoughts schlep me and they define me. Why do they define me? Because that's what I'm involved in. It takes a lot of work to be able to watch the thoughts from a distance. Usually, especially if you're busy. Yeah, the thoughts, this is where I am. Every thought chaps me. And it changes me while I'm involved. So there's the me before, there's the me in the middle, and there's the me after. That's Das Tachten. Das Elyon is a different inyan. It's Goli V'Yodua. It's known. You don't know, it's known. What's the difference? So you would think, oh, you're somewhere in some abstract world, right? And it's known. Artificial intelligence, right? You put into, even not artificial, you put in a search into Google. And a second later, yeah, it knows all the information, yeah? Does Google get overwhelmed from so much overload? It's like, sorry, sorry. There's a million sources. If I would tell you, yeah, you got to go through a million websites to get the information, yeah? You would say, kill me first. Why? Because everyone takes me with it. It takes me. It takes my brain. It takes my heart. It takes my time. It takes my mental space and my energy. One website is enough for a headache. A million websites, a million sources. That's because it's bislapshus. What's goli v'yadua? It's known. But usually when it's known, it's you're completely up there. Artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence means you're completely not defined by it. It's all a computer system. So fine, it's all there. It's all there. How much information does cyberspace have? How much information? And in an instant, it could come up. Somebody sent me, they typed into to artificial intelligence. They said, give me a sermon on Parshas Shlach in the style of Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. It's not so bad. 3 seconds later, it gave them a sermon. I take a look, yeah? I see there's a joke in the beginning, there's a story here, there's a story at the end, in the middle. And basically, it's all about, it was Parshas Shlach, that the problem of the Meraglim is fear. And you have to confront fear. So I'm like looking, yeah. I was like, wow, pretty good. I can't tell you that I would put my haskam on it, mamish, because artificial intelligence, with all due respect, it knows the metzias, it doesn't know the mohus. It knows the facts, it doesn't know the essence.
It's not up to the yidu.
Right. It's goli v'yadua, but the way it could be goli v'yadua is through it's detached. So it has a mechanism that all the information is there and it doesn't define me. So you would think that's pshat da'as elyon. Da'as elyon means it's known by God. He doesn't have to know, it's known. If artificial intelligence knows, Hashem knows. So he says that's not the vart.
Artificial intelligence is different because it's based on the set of the information you feed it.
Right.
So if you feed garbage in, you catch out.
Yeah.
Or if you feed limited stuff, it's
not right. Right.
You cannot feed the mehus.
Right. Right. You're feeding information, yeah. Ach gam bebchin is das elyon, you do a lefon of hakal beprotius. But it's not pshat das elyon, he doesn't know all the details or the nuances. K'may med azal, the Gemara says, in Rosh Hashanah, but Rosh Hashanah, kol boi oylem, evin lefon of kibnei banan, shenim nim echad echad. Ve'kulam niskaren beskira achas, afal pisha oivin zeh, chazet, shezeh winyin dashgach protis al kol prat, uprat, shenim tzalamat. The Gemara says, in Rosh Hashanah, we say by Nesana Toikif, all the people of the world pass by Kibnei Marin. Kibnei Marin is like when sheep go by and you're counting each one. It also says they're all scanned, Niskarin, Biskira Achas, with one gaze, with one scan, even though they're passing one after another. In other words, there's Ashgacha Pratis, divine providence on every detail. V'at Shamra Razal, the Medrash says, Achalei Noitza Machshava Beliba Shaladim Golui V'Yadua Lefanav Yizbarach. before the thought developed in your brain, it was known to him. In other words, the hashgacha is not just on every action, it's even every thought you're having. Even before you consciously develop the thought, it's already known to him. The chiddush of yadua is not that it's disengaged from details. Like the Gemara says, it's all skira achas. With one scan, Hashem scans all of history, all of reality. Okay, so you get the picture. That's not the word. The word is every thought, every detail. To get every detail, you need hislapshus. You need to go into it. You changed. So in das tachten, how do I know everything? How I yedeya. In das elyon, it's yadua. It's known. Goloi v'yadua. So on one hand, every single thought is known, and yet it's not called b'pchinas hislapshus in the sense I'm not defined and transformed by it that the thought actually pulls me down. And with this, the Alter Rebbe gives an answer to a question. Now, just the question itself is hafle v'fele. The Alter Rebbe's question. The Alter Rebbe says in the Maim in Tavkuf Samachay, we talk about machshavas zaris. What are machshavas zaris? Alien thoughts. I'm in the middle of davening and I'm thinking about everything else. I'm in the middle of learning machshavas zaris. Machshavas zaris doesn't mean prohibited thoughts. Alien thoughts, machshavas zaris. Says the Alter Rebbe, who's the one who has the most machshavas zaris in all of history? Hashem. Every thought of every person, he knows. The Alter Rebbe says, oh my God, pun intended. Oh my God, how many machshavas zaris do you have? Every machshava he knows. Like we say in Tehillim, Hashem yodea machshavas adam. Kehemahai knows all the machshavas. Destructive and constructive, futile and real, authentic and inauthentic, mishagas and not mish. How many thoughts do you have a day? How many thoughts do you have a second? Do you have a minute? It's a lot. And that's every creature and every animal and every person. Yoimun v'layla, and as the Gemara says, the Chmedr says, every thought even before it develops, but you already knows it. That's a lot of machshav azaris he's dealing with. Oh my God, what does God's brain look like? A lot of data. Machshav azaris v'divri avoyi. So he's filled with machshava zoris. Al Alter Rebbe says no. Kivan she'enzu p'chinas is slapshus a machshava klal. Kiim shu b'derech goli v'yadua b'derech memela. K'moshu l'gabi Yosef lo hayu mevalbalim a machshavas medivrei ha'olam. And this came out by Yosef. Yosef's machshavas of Egypt was goli v'yadua, not yodeya. It was yadua because that's how it is in Atzilus. You hear what he's saying? This is a very, very heavy word. This is how the whole idea of Kelim Natsils translates into Yosef's life. There's a way of disengaging. When you disengage, it makes sense, because thoughts will schlep you down. If I'm going to learn about everybody's life, you have to be defined by it. You're a therapist who's sitting in an office, yeah? You're coming to him, you're pouring your heart out. He has to tune into what you're saying, and it's going to change him. After a day, he's going to be exhausted. They say there was a new therapist and he walked out of the office the first day and he met Dr. Plotkin. Dr. Plotkin was a psychotherapist for 60 years. So then he says, how was your first day? He says, I don't know how you do it. I'm about to have a heart attack. I want to quit. He says, what happened? He says, I'm sitting here 9 hours. Every 45 minutes, somebody else comes in. Crazy stories. I'm listening. I'm the destroyed person. Dr. Plotkin, how are you doing this for 60 years? He says, who's listening? Who gave you this mishagas that you have to sit and listen? You got to do your own thing. It's very easy to leave. You disassociate, fine. Spiritually, it's also that way. A person in there's people in certain places, they could meditate for 20 years, 30 years, 12 hours a day. It's like, when is a cholent coming out? It's not coming out. Right, they say there was a Jewish kid who ended up somewhere in India, and he went into some ashram, and they told him that the rule is that every 5 years you can only speak two words. The rest of the time you meditate. So the first 5 years, Yankel is there, he's meditating, and then the guru says, "No," so he says, "Food bad." Okay, another 5 years he's silent. No, he says, mattress, horrible. Another, so now it's 10 years already. That's 15 years. No, I quit. The guru says it's about time. All you've been doing is complaining. All I heard from you in 15 years was complaints. Gei gesundheit, baruch shepatrani. If I'm listening to you, it's going to change me. If I'm not listening, it won't. Like we learned before about a marriage, about a neshama and a guf. The soul listens to the body, it gets changed. The body listens to the soul, it gets changed. There's no other way about it. That's called islapshus. That's called das tachter. It's supposed to be that way. I tune into your world and I listen to you. I'm defined by you. Sorry, I'm not the same person pre the session, after the session, the middle of the session. And if you are, you're disassociated. The question is, why did you have to disassociate? It's too intense. You're too afraid. That's what people do. Freeze, flight, fawn. Why? Because it's too hard. It's too much. Why do people disassociate emotionally? Why do they shut down their emotions? Not because they don't have emotions, because they had too many emotions that were hurt. And if they're going to remain present, they're going to get a dagger again and again and again. So I stop feeling. People stop feeling. They give all types of excuses. This one calls it amuna. This one calls it religion. This one calls it moyach shalit al alev. I'm an intellectual. You're not an intellectual. You're a traumatized, fearful child, which I get. I'm not judging. It's not judging, but you're not an intellectual. You're not such an intellectual. This is very, very important to understand. Das Tachten is the courage of islapshus, presence. Presence means I go into a situation and I'm present. And you know what? I'm going to feel the scars. I'm going to feel the wounds. Yeah, that's what a relationship is. I go into a war zone. I'm not detached. The relationship affects me. That's called islapshus. So you would think, what was Yosef's chiddush? He was disassociated. That's what you would think. That's against the whole vart of the Maimer. You understand? It's Yosef, that's not the vart of Yosef. He wasn't disassociated. How do I know he wasn't disassociated? Maybe Yosef was just this intellectual, artificial intelligence type of guy. Right? And he could sit in his office. He didn't really care about anything. Yeah, he was brilliant. He could run an economy. He did it between 5 and 6 p.m. You know, he gave orders and everybody worked for him and that was it. That's not the vart. How do you know? I've told you many times, in Tanakh, nobody cries as many times as Yosef. In Chumash itself, Yosef cries 8 times. And that's in Chumash, besides in Medrash. What does that show? He's constantly crying. The Shvatim spoke to him after Yaakov's death, he was crying. He met Binyamin, he cried. He met his brothers, he cried. He heard them regret, they cried. He met them, he cried. He met Yosef, he cried. Yosef doesn't stop crying. In other words, he's emotionally extremely, extremely vulnerable. He feels the pain, he knows the pain, he experiences it. He's not a detached human being. He's fully present in every experience. And you could see it from the story. You could see Yosef didn't run the economy of Egypt from an ivory tower. He didn't run it with a joystick. He was present. Oh, Ebazoi, you have to be defined by it. Yeah, Dr. Plotkin could sit on the couch. Who's listening? Talk, talk, talk. Cry, yeah? And there are such therapists maybe, right? Every 10 minutes they're like, and what else are you feeling? And what else? You ever went to such a guy? And at the end, you just say, I think you're suffering from a lack of confidence and depression. Come back next week. What else are you feeling? Hislapshus is not that. Hislapshus is huayodeya. That's the whole vart of this maimer. The vart of this maimer is Yosef's chiddush was that he could be fully present. And still, the machshavas didn't define him. Why not? So this is the chiddush of Eirein Sof, Lamata Adin Tachlas. And that's the word Huayadua. Huayadua doesn't mean that Hashem knows from a detached place. Again, shtickle Google. Shtickle artificial intelligence. It's known, the information is there. Hashgacha Pratis means that every prat is involved. Yosef is running the country. So the Chayra, the Machshavas have to schlep him down. It's Machshavas Zaris. You know how much pressure there is? You know how much craziness there is? The idea of Goli V'yadua is that because Eirein Sof L'mata Adein Tachlis, So therefore, even the finite thought, it's back to the mashal of the letter. The one letter defines you when you're outside of the picture. When you're inside the picture, that one letter is just a manifestation of infinity. So what does this mean? This means that Yosef, in every machshava, he was not pulled down by the thought. Because he was so anchored in Ein Sof, he lifted up the thought back to Ein Sof. You understand what that means? He's going to give another illustration from the Baal Shem Tov here. Also, a chiddush gadol, he brings a mashal from the Baal Shem Tov. Let's see, and we'll finish with this paragraph. Umaysef Sham, in the Maimer, he adds that Abba Marash's Maimer, Shematzinu Keine Tzal Nisi Yisrael Gam B'Deir Shal Achereza. He says, not just a story about Yosef. You see it even in later generations by Nisi Yisrael. By true leaders of the Jewish people, Shazel, Shapal, Abal Shem Tov Zechreinu Levracha, Sha'avshe, Hoyalamata, Boilam Hazah, Gashmi, La'il, Oishum, Stira, Klali, Is Gamkin, Boilam, Esal, Yoinim, Kvishim, Evayr, Admurem, Tzoyi, Masha, Abal Shem Tov, Hispalil, Kama, Tfilis, Sheyuchal, Ohoshiv, L'shoy, Le'dover, Beis, Aliyas, Nishmasa. Haflu, a fella. Says the Baal Shem Tov felt that he has a struggle. What's a struggle? The Baal Shem Tov used to have Aliyas on the Shema. What's Aliyah Sanjan? Neshama goes up. What does it mean Neshama goes up? Oh, you know, these funny stories about the Baal Shem Tov. Here's Neshama. You have Aliyah Neshama very often. What's that Aliyah Neshama? Aliyah Neshama is not some superstitious, strange thing. Aliyah Neshama is actually, it's a very real inyan that the Neshama, at this moment, so to speak, separates, it disengages from its presence inside the structure of the body, the ego, whatever that means in a person's life, and it experiences its pure relationship with the divine. And dafka, in this generation, we can appreciate what this means, at least me'ein, de me'ein, the concept of it, that there's different ways in which a person can suddenly, they call it death of ego, the death of ego, meaning I'm not anymore defined by all my thoughts and my self-consciousness and my strength. But rather, there's a moment of freedom where the neshama can start breathing. And suddenly there's a differentiation between the ego self and the pristine soul self. So the Baal Shem Tov, this was organic, this was natural, this was his life, aliyas the neshama. And he had a challenge. What was the challenge? The challenge is people would come to ask him, and it was hard for him to answer. So the Baal Shem Tov davened many tefillahs, that he should be able to answer people's questions be'eist aliyas neshama. So the Rebbe says, what's the chiddush? He was a good man. V'hainu, her. De'im e'yoshe k'dei lo'hashiv l'shayel le'binyan e'yelam hazat tzorech lo'hashiv l'fini prate ha'shayel v'ashayel. Mikol makayim b'shas ma'isa o'imedu b'avidos madrigosa k'may b'aylam e'alya. Baal Shem Tov was no Dr. Plotkin. I have nothing against Dr. Plotkin, it's just... Rebbe says, for the Baal Shem Tov to answer, you have to answer according to the questionnaire and the question. I can't answer you according to me, you have to answer according to you. You have to live through the other person, you have to have empathy, you have to know what he's experiencing. Can't tell him, why don't you come join me for Aliyas Neshama, and then you won't have any problems? That's not how you answer a question. You can never answer a question based on you. You have to answer the question based on him, based on her. That's the Chiddush. So answering the Baal Shem Tov, he didn't answer a question like a robotic answer, you know? Go say till him. Go to the Gabbai, you know? Sign up, we'll send you the literature. Make sure you put on a dove before you leave. The Baal Shem Tov had to tune into where the person is. And what if the person is in Shaul Tachtas? What if the person is in the abyss? They come out. Right, I'll derech the story with Reb Nachman, right? You got to go with the rooster under the table. Just come out of under the table, b'shoita. That's not how you answer. That's the vart. But if you're in a state of aliyas neshama, well, one second, it doesn't work that way. So for this, the Baal Shem Tov had to daven. He had to daven kama tefillas, and it says in one of the Maimarim that this he reached only towards the end of his life. In other words, there were two modes. Now I'm not in aliyas neshama, I'll speak to you. And it's hard, but I'll go there. Aliyas neshama, you're in aliyas neshama. You're in a completely transcendent journey where the whole ego doesn't exist. The whole self doesn't exist. It's almost a nadishkeit. Now you come to me with your problems. I'll say, do me a favor. Just leave me alone. Go to somebody else with your Meshagas. That's not answering. Mitzvah Rebbe says in Teres Chaim that the Friday night, the Baal Shem Tov was two-thirds up there and one-third down here. And during the days of the week, he was, one-third of him was up there and two-thirds were down here. Just the definition. How do they measure it? How do you measure it? I don't know how to measure it. But apparently there were two-thirds in the Baal Shem Tov. There were three dimensions of the Baal Shem Tov. So the Baal Shem Tov, Shabbos, Lel Shabbos Kodesh, two-thirds were up, and one-third stayed down. So that's why he could respond. And on the weekdays, there was still one-third was above, but two-thirds were down.
He was in the three levels of Atzilus Bri Yetzirah. So, and he was like in Atzilus, and then he leveled down.
Yeah, we learned from the Lashon. Lashon says that in everything, Bayal HaTeva, in every word, there's Olamus, Neshamus, and Alakus. So it could be it's connected to that. Could be it's connected to Bri Yitzir Asiyah, Nefesh Ruach Neshama. The point is, when you say that, when you mean two-thirds, what does it mean two-thirds above and one-third down? It doesn't mean physically. Two-thirds means, why does the Mitl Rebbe say this? So he says, "V'hainu she'ilu yizeh shenyoni achelu bilbul oisei ma'avidosei einem mitzad ma'ilos ha'shabbos ela mitzad inyonei hu shalachain misayim shal derech zo ha'yagam b'shayim ma'isachel k'moshe l'gabi yosef lo'hoye milvalbulim ha'machshavis medivri ha'ilam." This comes back to machshavis zaris. Does Hashem have machshavis zaris when he thinks about me? And what if he's thinking about all of my issues that are very, very, let's put it this way, not so geschmack, not so nice? What if it's ugly? What if it's grotesque? What if it's immoral? What if I'm having a thought that is extremely troublesome morally? That's a real machshav azara. If I start thinking about your machshav azara, what happens to me? I have enough of my own machshav azara. Now I have to have your machshav. Imagine everyone starts thinking everybody else's machshav azara. But the truth is, since the reality of everything is Ein Sof, so the reality of every thought from the perspective of Atzilus is Ein Sof. Hashem is not knowing my machshava from someone else. He's knowing my machshava because everything is one. V'ata mechayes kulam. Because He is my machshava. So that means one means two things. First of all, He's completely present in every machshava. It also means that the machshava doesn't take him away from Ein Sof. Why? Because he's experiencing the machshava from within. He is the machshava. There's no machshava outside of him. So Lechedi has the worst machshava zaris. The Rebbe says, no, it's not machshava zaris. It's Ein Sof. And that's why there's no thought that is hopeless. And that's why there's no such a thing. You're in a sha'al, you're in the abyss. You're calling it the abyss. God is also in the abyss. So really, so Hashem is in the worst Gehenna of everybody. Because He's in everybody's abyss. Gam ki elech begeitz ha'mavis lo yirah ki atim madi. Wow, you're the worst off. Vatsiya shoyl hineka. It's hineka. Ein Sof is not afraid of the abyss. The abyss is also Ein Sof. So He doesn't know my thoughts because He says, now let me sit down on the couch and listen to what this disturbed guy has to say. I'm knowing it from within. It's knowledge from within. Hu amadu, hu ayedev, hu ayedua. In das tachta, in das of bria over there, there's islapshus. In das elyon, there's also islapshus. What's pshat islapshus? Islapshus not in a way that now I'm pulled down by your thought. No, you're pulled up by my thought of your thought. Because my thought of your thought is me. That's Ein Sof. That's the chiddush of Ein Sof l'mata. There's no nekuda that's not Ein Sof. So Yosef HaTzadik is not afraid of any thought. Bring it on, that's fine. The Baal Shem Tov could be an Aliyas Neshama and then tune into a child's problem and listen to it. Why? Why? It's going to bring you down. Baal Shem Tov was Poel Mat. The Baal Shem Tov had to work on himself. He had to daven to be able to go into a place of Atzilus. And over there, Kalim are as Ein Sof as Oyer. Over there, the most finite thing is as infinite as the most infinite reality. That's the chiddush of Ein Sof l'mata ad in tachlis. Goli v'yadua. It wasn't only a chiddush of Shabbos. The Shabbos was a special Seata Deshmai. There was something the Baal Shem Tov had to work through in the weekdays also. It says, Tzadikim Daimim Labayim. The Medrash says, Tzadikim reflect their Creator. That's the key. Shalachin Gam Kashem Meshav Lifli Pratiya Inyan Vashoyal Eina Mispoil Veina Mishtana. So I listen to you, I respond to you according to you, and he's not transformed and affected and pulled down and compromised. Why not? Because tzadikim daimim labayim. What's that tzadikim daimim labayim? They can experience life from the experience of the Boire, of the Creator. And what's the experience of the Creator? Hashem doesn't say, oh, you're too messed up. I'm not thinking about you. Even Google doesn't say that. Google has no problem. You're a website. I'm going to have you in my thing. But Google is not. It's not bislapshus. You understand? It's information. It's data. Here it's much deeper. Here there's no thought that I'm going to disengage from. You know why? I'm not afraid of it. You know why I'm not afraid of it? Because it's also me. If it's also Ein Sof, so he's not afraid of it. So Yosef could completely think and process everything that's going on in Egypt with all the pratim. So how doesn't it take him away from Avodas Hashem? The Shvatim are working 60 years on meditating all day. And you're sitting in a crazy country, Eves Haaretz. Why is it not schlepping you down? And this is the answer of Goli V'Yadua. Imagine, how does Hashem experiences every thought? The way he experiences every thought is with the ultimate empathy, with the ultimate love, with the ultimate recognition and awareness that this is just another manifestation of infinity. So this thought doesn't pull me down. The very definition of the thought is another gili of Ein Sof. So I'm not afraid of it. In our life, let's think about this, right? A person needs to have the avoid of Yosef's brothers. Because if not, I told you, if I just jump into Yosef, it's not going to be Yosef. It's just going to be enmeshment and entanglement. That's why there's a zman of tefillah, there's a zman of Torah, there's a zman of izbeidedus. There are those people who are terasam umnasam. Every person according to the shlichus of his neshama. But every person needs to be anchored. If not, I'm not going to be able to even relate to this. When I'm really anchored, I could be fully present in every relationship, in every experience. I can be fully present with all my thoughts. I don't have to run away from any thought. We're afraid of thoughts. Why are we afraid of thoughts? Because they're nasty. They're weird. They're difficult. Yosef says, don't be afraid. How could you not be? It's going to slap me down. Either you detach or you go there. The answer is goli v'yadua. Don't be yodea, be yadua. Let it be known. Don't know it. Let it be known. What does it mean? You define it. Don't let it define you. If you define it rather than letting it define you, then you remain completely anchored in the Ein Sof. And you can almost watch that thought, see it, be present, appreciate its full ramifications. And then ask yourself, and what does this teach me about truth? And what's my avoider right now with this thought? And how did this ultimately come from the source of Kelim of Atzilus? Can I trace it back? So you could be fully present because you're fully anchored. And then no machshava is going to take you away from this place. The Shvatim, it's Adbriya, needed to have a gulf. They needed to, you can't go to these machshavas. And that's understandable. But in the deeper place of Eden Sof Lamata Adin Tachlis, the machshavas are not machshavas zaris. The machshavas are machshavas zaris because they're taking me into their perceived world. But Hashem knows everything because of himself. Biyadiyas Atzmai. It's all part of Atzmai. So it's not a machshava zara. It's an expression of Ein Sof. It's very dirty and very ugly and very immoral and very filthy and even evil and certainly dark and depressing or full of anxiety. That's a good taina. That's what the Shvatim are saying. But the Chiddush of Yosef is that because it's Oed Ein Sof, so Lamata Ad Ein Tachlis means it remains Ein Sof. The Baal Shem Tov didn't become a mess as a result of that conversation. The question is now, can you have a conversation with all parts of yourself without becoming a mess? Think of what the Baal Shem Tov did. He's talking to anybody. We have it in ourselves. Can my neshama in its loftiest place talk to every part of me without detaching from it, without making fun of it, without getting consumed by it? The story of the Baal Shem Tov is an internal story. So you'll say, well, if my neshama is down, yeah, if my neshama is schlepped out, I know. When the neshama is actually in its true aliyah, then it could go down much lower. If my neshama is in a lower place, it can't. The Baal Shem Tov was Poel because he went higher, therefore he can go everywhere. When you go to the highest place, Hatachas Elikim Ani, I'm not under Elikim. I'm not a victim of Elikim. I'm not a victim of Tzimtzum. I'm completely beyond. Then you could look at everything. Then you're not afraid. Then it's not a Machshava Zara. Why is it not a Machshava Zara? Because you're rooted, Tzadikim, Daimon Labayram, that the Ein Sof could be present in the Lamata Adin Tachlis, because it knows that at the core of the Lamata Adin Tachlis, it's really infinity. You'll say, no, it's not. It's nasty, it's ugly, it's evil. All those definitions were given as a result because I'm not connected to Ein Sof. Okay, we'll take a break here. Be'ezer Hashem, tomorrow morning at 8, I hope to finish the Maimer Bli Neder. Have a beautiful day. This word, why it's not Machshava Zodas, is... Huh?
So is it
the... If the Machshava defines me, of course it's Machshava Zara. It's horrible. You can't live. Yosef would go crazy. Because he was from Atzilis, so every thought found its source. It touched infinity. The letter was brought back to infinity. So first of all, there weren't many thoughts. It was really one thought. It was rooted in one source. It wasn't many thoughts. It's all Ein Sof. And always goes back to the same root. So he's not running a country with trillions and trillions of details. He's anchored in one nekuda.
Yeah.
Spread into many things. But you have to understand how deep that avoid is. Like you have to be completely, he's not looking to, if you're looking for validation, if you're looking to be successful, in other words, if I'm needy, then I'm completely in a different place. You have to be so, needed, not needy. You have to be needed. Yeah.
I asked yesterday.
And he knew he was a part of, a big part of what?
L'michya shlachani elakim lefnechem. He told his brothers, Elakim sent me. I'm not under Elakim. Elakim sent me. I'm sorry, what?
Yesterday I asked. All this being said, what's the definition of Kadara? In other words, after learning this, there is nothing that is not the Kadara. What's the significance of
that? You're saying if everything is really a lakos, so what's the chiddush of a neshama that it's chelek alakamimal?
It's his grandpa.
That's actually the question as it brought. Because you're looking for definition, which is by definition is not a
Shabbos nach davene. Yeah, a great suda. They're having a suda of a brengen.
We say it every day.
What do you mean? Galui v'yadua lefnechisech v'edacha. Right. So that's an interesting example. What's galui v'yadua? Hashem yisasem echem. Hashem is busy with your digestive, reproductive, urinary system, and your sosim, and your paseach, really? That's what you're dealing with the whole day, with my besakise issues. It's a funny thing. And you say, lifnei kiseich vaydecha. I think there's a word from the Vilna Gaon. He says, what do you say here, lifnei kiseich vaydecha? He says, you could think that such things, it's not lifnei kiseich vaydecha, it's a lower, it's a lower Indian. So he says, no, galavi yadua, lifnei, it's even higher than kiseich vaydecha. So what's the Havana? That's the Havana of Yadua. Mitzad the kelim of mitzad atzilus. Of course, it's galivia do. I saw him in pasach. Every detail. It's not negeya. How small it is. How insignificant it is. It's not small. It's not insignificant. It's really a revolution. You're coming out of the bathroom, and basically saying that Hashem bechvoidei ba'atzma lefnechisa echvoidecha. How my body works, and yisosim, if one thing gets stopped or plugged, or if something gets open, doesn't have to be open, I won't be able to exist, okay? And this is Golov Yadu, this is what he's busy with. So he says, Machshav Azores. But Mitzad Yadua, no, every prat is known, every prat is connected, every prat is accounted for, every prat is cherished. Every single prat, there's no nekuda that's out of it, and it's not a machshava zara, because you're not being pulled down by the machshava zara. Fakert, it's all ain soif. If it's real ain soif, it's everything. It's not.
It's impossible to come. We can't relate to such abundance of love.
We can't relate to such abundance of love. We always want to detach. We want to say this doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. You're not going to care about this. You're not going to care about it. You're going to care about my tooth. I should start talking to you about my toothaches now. Well, I should talk to you about my stomachache. What should I tell you? That I woke up at 2 o'clock, I had to go to the bathroom. Somebody cares? You care?
What are the three shittes about Caleb?
Three. It's three, but here he discusses the first two.
Only the first shit is Yeshma.
First shit is Caleb Yeshman. The second shit is Gilu Yahela. Marechas, Shittas Marechas, Shittas Arikantis, the first Shittas Marechas, the second. The poil, they're all true, but it's different in Yanim, yeah. But this vart is that it's all Elikos, yeah. Kalim is Elikos. Kalim is the Koyach HaGvul of Ein Seif. It's the way Hashem is expressed through Gvul. Chesed, Gvur, Tiferet, so it has definition. Aye, Elikos is not Gvul. The answer is, not Elikos is Gvul. Elikos is not Gvul. Elikos is Ein Seif, but part of Ein Seif is Gvul. So in Atzilus it's not Kshem Shesh L'Kei, but in Atzilus it's not Gvul. The way it affects outside of Atzilus is Gvul. In other words, it's a Keli that what? That someone outside, so to speak, can experience Gvul through the Keli. Like the Koyach HaKsiva.
Interface, this is it.
What an interface. It's a Hafladik Avart that this Madrega of Yosef, the Baal Shem Tov, that he says, Tzadikim Daimel Lebaidim, you can be present in every situation, listen to any issue, and be involved in it, care about it. You could tune into any question, Be'emes, not Be'chitzayini, is just to make the person feel good. In other words, you're fully present, and it doesn't take you away from complete vacus.
You have to go into the shoil. Yes.
Even in the shoil and tuck in the shoil. And it's not a machshav azara. You're not overwhelmed. You're not even schlepped down. You're not even compromised or diluted.
So Baal Shem Tov was able to do it for others.
So the Baal Shem Tov, it says, Hispalel kama tfilis, it says, B'soif yamav, he achieved this, that Shabbos, after that, it says, Bilal Shabbos, that's when Aliyah Soilam is. After davening, he could answer people.
Baal Shem Tov achieved the end of his life. I need to go do it today.
Baal Shem Tov did it with others. We can do it with ourselves.
We don't have Baal Shem Tov today.
We don't. The Baal Shem Tov was opening a path. Obviously, it's not Lefiyarech the Baal Shem Tov, but it's opening, just like Yosef. It's not Lefiyarech Yosef. But it opens a path. Every person, according to his level, obviously, it's. And as I said, it's also inside of yourself. All the different parts of ourselves throwing out all the questions and problems, right? Can I listen to it and respond? Or I either get slept down in anxiety or fear, or I have to detach and I cut off parts of me. So that's the whole chiddush of Yosef. And this the Shvatim had a very hard time with. That's why, it's connected to IFS. But even till today, you'll see a lot of people have a challenge with this. Like sometimes people send comments to me, like, You can't listen to all your parts. You have to ignore some parts. You have to get angry at some parts. You have to cut off parts. Just move on. You're getting schlepped down. And I understand. It's so overwhelming. It's very scary. And it's dangerous. Bedakus de dakus, in a very deep place, this is what the Shvatim Tainet. The Shvatim Tainet, you have to choose. Mishalani al Tzareinu. You want to go to all the Machshav Zadas? Fine, but with us. Go to Mitzrayim, man. And we'll see what happens. But Yosef was Megala, the real union of Achdus Hashem. The real union of Achdus Hashem is that it's Lamata Adin Tachlis. So a male is not a Machshav Azar.
So his wife of 24, he had the Machshav Azar. Mistamaya, but he went inside of it to pull himself out. But Mistama.
So Moira de Kavart from the Maggid of Mizrich, the Moira Naya brings from the Maggid, he hears from the Maggid. So Hafla de Kavart. It says that what saved him, the image of Yaakov, his father. He says, what's Pshat? Chayre, he knew what Yaakov looked like. What was he saw the image of Yaakov, his father? He says, a haflu de kavart. It's not Pshat, it was two stories. Potiphar's wife wanted to get him. And then he saw Yaakov, his father, and that schlepped him away. It's the same story. Listen to this. It's the same story. What was the power of Potiphar's wife? As the Maggid says, her power was Tiferes, beauty. Yosef himself was Yefei Toyev Yefei Mari. He himself was beautiful. So mitzad the beauty, he was being lured in. Vayavei Habayis Elasas Malachtai. Here he says it's the Cheshbonus. But in the Gemara in Saita, one of the Shittas is that it was Lasas Malachtai. Tainu Hach. He was completely entrenched in Mitzrayim. Dumuz Diyokner Shal Yaakov Aviv. Yaakov is Midas HaTiferes. So Yosef, so what are you really looking for? You're looking for Tiferes. If you're looking for Tiferes, what's the source of all Tiferes? Yaakov. Yaakov is Midas HaTiferes. Titinemis LeYaakov. So B'meila, it wasn't despite Potiphar's wife, he ran away to Yaakov. It was actually, he saw that this is what he's looking for in Potiphar's wife. He's really looking for Tiferes. This is Ein Sof L'mata Adin Tachlis. That's the embodiment of it. It's not pshat, he ran away, chozan an er l'chayid, and I'm, which is also not to underestimate that moira de kamadrega. It's much more. Vayonas vayetze achutzi taitches. He took the very machshava, and he took it out of its hagbola, and he brought it out, achutza. He brought it back to its an uninhibited source, so to speak, in atzilis. What is it? You're looking for Yaakov. Everything a person is looking for, what are you really looking for? You're looking for Potiphar's wife? Yeah. What's really, what's behind it? Go deep, deep, deep down. What are you really looking for? You're looking for a dveikus. You're looking for attachment. You're looking for connection. You're looking for Tiferes. With her, you're not going to get it. You're going to get a fake version. And then regret it. Yeah. Yeah, and you can't even, she's married to somebody, so it's not, you're not gonna be. In Yaakov, you'll be able to have it. This is your father. If you want to mamish bring it down in very simple words, Yosef realized that he's not looking for Potiphar's wife, he's looking for a father. So very often, if I don't have a father, I'm looking for you, I'm looking for everybody. And then he realized, Muzdi Yoikna, he's looking for a father. And when he found that, you're not going there. But it's the same inyan. It's not pshat Yosef just disengaged. No. He turned the machshav zara into Eretz Yisrael.
That's why I said diyukna, because
unique. He saw the image. Muz diyukna shal Yaakov Ovid. In Potiphar's wife, he saw really the muz diyukna. From her, he learned what he's looking for. He's looking for Tiferes. So Fakert, she helped him. Go back to Yaakov. Now, you have to be very honest with yourself. This is a very serious. Sometimes you just have to run away. Ataza. Because he was in Atzilus, so he can go down to every place, including to Sheol. And not only does it not slap him down and take him away from it, on the contrary, he brings that back to Ein Sof. It's not that Yosef, even in the world, he could still daven shacharis with kavana. That's not the chiddush. It's also a chiddush. It's also a chiddush that you run a big country, but you could still daven shacharis. The Vart is no. The running the country itself was shacharis.
He's running away from her because of the taiva from the
dragon of the brothers. Yeah, yeah. Mitzad the brothers, you can't have both. Either you're a shepherd, or you become defined by toxicity. And you see fakert, if you want to really get down to it, you see Yehuda, who was the biggest fighter against Yosef, he ended up by Tamar. Yosef, who was the one who was, you know, thrown away, he's the one who withstood all the tests. Because that's really what happens. When you separate the two worlds, it's beautiful as long as you're separated. The moment you confront Olam Haza, you can lose everything. You understand what I'm saying? Your whole koyach is because you're separated. You're sitting in an attic, gewaldik, beautiful. But one day you're going to face reality. What's going to happen? One day there's going to be internet in the house. One day you're going to get a phone when you're 22. Right? What's going to happen then? It's a very important idea. It's good. It's good to be disengaged. It's good to be parush. It's good not to have it. No, so it's important to understand the dangers of Olam Haza. But if that becomes the only avoida, then one day you face reality and it's very dangerous. What happens to a lot of younger lights, yeah? They grew up in a very, very sheltered environment and it's beautiful. But they're not given the tools to confront their own reality and the world's reality. And one day they go out and they could lose everything and sometimes lose it worse than other people. I'm not going to be maidich here. But the reason is because they fall so low because they have no mechanism of dealing with it. So Yosef's inyan is essential to understand that Einoid Mulvadoi means Va'ata Mechayes Kulam. Vata Mechayes Kula means you have to find the Shechina in every Nakuda in life. Of course, you have to be real and practical and you have to know what's for you and what's not for you. This is not a mitzvah that every person becomes a prime minister of Egypt and goes into Potiphar's wife. That's not what we're saying, Chas V'Shalom. But this is the Chiddush of Yosef.
To me, the same thing with the story of Abba
Omna
and
Rehoboth. Yeah. Abba Omna versus Rehoboth. It's a sensitive inyan because sometimes it can also be said in the wrong way. In other words, the only way this can be said is when it's you're talking Atzilus. If I'm saying this from the perspective of Asiya, it's already... The only one who can go down to these places is somebody who's much higher, not somebody who's lower. The Baal Shem Tov went so high so he can go down everywhere. If he wasn't so high, he couldn't. Stay away. Don't go there. It's going to be Machshav Azaris. It's going to be Machshav Azaris.
Does that mean that the brothers didn't go with far enough? Or
no, their neshamas came from Olam HaBriyah.
But I don't know if he's a tzilus or a I'm saying like, well, in other words...
We don't have a problem. We're from Asiya, don't worry. We don't have a problem. Every neshama comes from Olam HaTzilus. The question is what it goes through. Yosef, from HaTzilus, he came into Olam Haza. The brothers went through Olam HaBriyah. The reason we learn about this is because every neshama is connected to Atzilus, Bri, Yitzir, Asiya. So in every person's life, you have to have the avodah of the Shvatim and the avodah of Yosef. Yeah, you have to figure out exactly different situations and where you are in life. But the model of Yosef is something that becomes a lesson for every Jew. Not mamish in the same chin of Yosef. Not everybody, again, has to go down to Egypt and become the prime minister of Egypt and sit in prison for 12 years and get involved with Eishes Potiphar and get into a fight with him. But the nekuda, Yosef brought in a new nekuda in Avodas Hashem. That applies to everybody. Kol chavda from Shura Delay. Just like you have Yisachar and Zvulin, you have Teirosi Ibn Nasa, and you have Bala Yesek. But in each one, you have to have Iskalalos. Even a person who's Teirosi Ibn Nasa, the Gemara says in Yevamos, somebody says, I only have Torah. He doesn't even have Torah. Somebody says, I'm just busy with the world the whole day. I don't have to daven, I don't have to learn. No. That's not a seder. That doesn't work that way in Avodah Hashem. how much, what, when, where, that you have to know the shlichus of your neshama. But generally, there's always a skalalus. Everything has to be integrated. If it's not integrated, it means that it's just, you know, my own little trip.
I think it's a very dangerous question. How do we know which neshama we're coming from? It's dangerous because it could be so easily manipulated. I've heard many people
say,
oh, he's from Atsilus, he's from Bria. It's so dangerous because they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, you have to, I wouldn't say, about a neshama defining where it's from. If you're in a neshama of Atsilus, you'll know it. And if you don't know it, it's probably you're not there.
Maybe there's a guy hallucinating.
Because he had a study of neshama, life's
night. Different avoida, yeah, different avoida. He seems all different avoida. Yosef saw right away that he's not operating on their level. He was thrown, he had different dreams, he was thrown into a pit, he became a slave, he went into prison. But he never lost his simcha. Why didn't he lose his simcha? L'chayda, so many tzaras, yeah? You should become a bitter old man very fast. Cynical, bitter. The answer is, chatachas elekimon, you think I'm under elekim, you think I'm busy with revenge. I don't live in the world of revenge. I was never a victim of your issues that I should have to take revenge. You have to take revenge, right, when somebody destroyed your life, so now I'm going to take revenge. Hasachas elekimon, you never destroyed my life. That's a hafla de kavart from the Alter Rebbe. You think I'm under elekim, so I'm busy with these cheshbonos. It's not shaykh for me to take revenge. You never affected me. You never destroyed me. I was lechatchil in a different place. My whole avoda is a different avoda. I'm good. You're the ones who need the help, not me. Huh? Interesting. Taka Yaakov said hasachas elekim anoichi. He says hasachas elekim ani, and he says anoichi. Yaakov said anoichi. Yosef said ani. Okay. Yeah.
He was Tiferes of Atsilus, so of course.
Yaakov was Tiferes of Atsilus, yeah. So he was also higher than Elikim. That Yosef should say, I'm not under Elikim, I'm higher than Elikim. But Mela, by me, Elikim doesn't make the reality. I'm not suffering from concealment. Because I'm not suffering from the condition of concealment, my entire life is a different shlichus than your life. That's called an honest conversation. You think I'm tachas alekim, because you're tachas alekim, I'm not tachas alekim. For what? So you're a machshava zara, for me is not a machshava zara.
It's a brilliant way to express it.
Huh?
It's also a brilliant way to express it. We don't say that you're above because it's not modest. You say it in a way of question.
Atachas alekim money. Atachas alekim money.
when Herzl is done, you might have read it, there's the cook, the mistress of Yishalayim.
Sheikh bin Yosef. I can the husband, yeah. The Imre Emes wrote about him. Ahavosay letzion oiveres kol gvul. The Imre Emes wrote about Rav Kook. Ahavosay letzion oiveres kol gvul. It's a nice way of saying that he doesn't agree. Ahavosay letzion oiveres kol gvul. It's a very dakas dikinyan. In other words, Atzilus is so, it's so kedusha, it's so elokos. That there's no yinika, there can be a yinika of chitzayinim. Klippa can't nurture from there. Because there's no klippa. You understand what I'm saying? If you use that language in a different world, it could be dangerous. Somebody says, Eirin saf lamata adin tachlis. So I can go everywhere. I can stay with Potiphar's wife too. You know, when Shapsi Tzvi converted to Islam, so his student said, right, Frank and the others, that Mashiach has to go down to Shalosh Tlipas HaTmeis to bring up the Netzutzes. So what's more important than converting to Islam? So now you're mamish inside there, and then you'll bring out the Netzutzes. You know, so once you do that, it's all over. The game is over. You understand what I'm saying? And it was all with Isis of Kabbalah, so that made it much more dangerous. So that's why there's always a simon of Shulchan Aruch. Now the moment somebody starts deviating from Shulchan Aruch, then you know it has nothing to do with Atzilus. Always the barometer. Always the barometer. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, it says in Pirkei Avos, Hillel, I'm a heavy metamid of Shaladin, yeah? Oyev Shalom, Roydev Shalom, Oyev Sabriyas, or Mekarvon Latoyra. See, he's done the first thing. Oyev Shalom, Roydev Shalom, what's a Mekarvon Latoyra? So he says, once you say, Oyev Shalom, Roydev Shalom, Oyev Sabriyas, so now the Havamin is to bring the Torah down to them. So he says, a Mekarvon Latoyra. How's it going to the Mishnah? It's a very nice thing to... So now bring the Torah down to them. Says that's where that's not love. Now it means you don't even believe in them. You don't believe in them. You don't believe in the Torah. So maybe you have to now make pshatas. You really love them. Believe in them. Believe in their potential. Believe that they also have a shaychus to Torah. Bring them to Torah. Don't bring the Torah down. That nekuda changes. It's everything. That's where you see where you're going. There's people who say, I don't love, we're haters. Fine, no problem. We're not mekad of anybody to Torah, we don't bring the Torah down, we're not into that. Not we're haters, but we're just disengaged. The whole chiddush of Hillel is, Oyev Sabriyas. So, hey, not was yetzt. You can go down, lamata din tachlis. Question is, you're mekad of them to Torah, or you're mekad of the Torah to them? Mekad of the Torah to them, it means this is already other forces. Huh? Concessions, yeah. Either you don't believe in the Torah, you don't believe in yourself, or you're weak, whatever. Mekar von the Torah means that it's Ein Sof lamata din tachlis. You're not, you're bringing Ein Sof there, not, yeah. It says in Medrash that the Shvatim were afraid of Yosef because they saw Yeravim ben Nevat. With Ruach HaKodesh, Yeravim ben Nevat brought back Avodah Zarah, the Enochel. They saw in Yosef Yeravim ben Nevat. That's what it says in Medrash. Why did they see it? Because from Yosef, you could misconstrue it, right? I think the Megal Amukus writes that Yosef begematria Antiochus, and also begematria Melech Yavon. Why? Because the Yavonim were busy with beauty. Yavon is Osius Noi. So they used Yosef as a model. Look at Yosef. He's a Hellenist. The first Hellenist Jew was Yosef. First Misyavin. Yosef, Begematria, Melech Yavon, Antiochus. The emesis was Punkfaker. By Yosef, it was an Indian of Eirin Sof, Lamata Adin Tachlis. And by them, it was just Lamata Adin Tachlis without Eirin Sof. So it's all connected. Yeah. That's the chiddush. Because tzaddikim daim lebaydim. So just like by Hashem lechayda, what are you comparing yourself? We say who are you ideya by Hashem? Olamat silas. That's Hashem. So you can have all the machshavas, and it's not machshavas zaris. The Rambam says biyedias atzma yoideya kol anivrayim. But because tzaddikim daim lebaydim, so a real tzaddik is kavayochel a reflection of the Ein Sof. So b'meila, even by tzaddikim, there could be disinyan in life. Like the Baal Shem Tov said, he can answer people. He could be completely present in the world, like Yosef HaTzadik, running all the Mitzrayim, which needs Machshava, and yet it's completely, it doesn't take him away from Avodas Hashem. Because Tzadikim Adayim Lebeinim, so Mele, this Kayach HaBeire is reflected in a Tzadik who's completely one with the Beire. So the highest Tzadik is the one. He doesn't have to be disengaged. He's completely present. L'chayre in a matzav of Mitzrayim. Listening and relating to and identifying and empathizing and present. Because he's changing the world on its terms. And yet, it's never a machshava zara. Never takes him away from complete vekus. And thus is in a whole different inyan.
This class is brought to you by TheYeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.TheYeshiva.net/donate.